Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From chapter 12, we will read verses 49 through 56 in the New King James Version Pew Bible. We're on page 1486. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 12, 49. Jesus said, "I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Then Jesus also said to the multitudes, "Whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say there will be hot weather, and there it is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time?" God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Do you ever wonder about your future? God is your future. Saturday, August the 9th, I attended 5 o'clock Mass at Holy Infant of Prague Catholic Church in Trussville. Deb Bosworth, a cousin-in-law and who worshipped here with her husband Greg for a couple of years and worked in aprons, some of you knew her, at Publix until 2020, she was a liturgist. With excellence, she read scripture and she offered prayers of petition. The priest at Mass was Father Gerald Holloway. He inspired me when he made the statement, "God is your future, today, tomorrow, and forever." From what I've heard and read of Father Holloway's faith, he faithfully lives with that belief. He grew up as a Catholic in Anniston. He later earned a degree from Jacksonville State and taught math and science for 10 years at a middle school in Anniston. He felt called by God to go to seminary. Other people around him also recognized God's gifts and graces in him. He attended Notre Dame in New Orleans. In 2003, Father Gerald Holloway was assigned to St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Church in Tuscaloosa. He was their first African-American priest. As head coach Mike Shula came to Mass daily, Holloway said, "You need a chaplain." Shula said, "I'll get back with you." And somewhat to Holloway's surprise, later a phone call accepted his offer. Well, Jeremiah Castile, an ordained Baptist minister and former Alabama football player, began serving as chaplain in 2001, and he continues. But this gave coaches and players two chaplains to lead worship, to serve communion, give motivational speeches, and wise counsel. Nick Saban became the head coach of Alabama in 2007, and as a devout Catholic, he and Miss Terry and family attended St. Francis. Coach Saban also attended Mass either the night before or morning of the game. Well, after being in Tuscaloosa for 13 years when Holloway was assigned in 2016 to Prince of Peace in Hoover as an associate priest, but he continued to travel back to be chaplain. In 2018, Gerald Holloway had a mini stroke and he spent a week at his mother's home in Anniston recovering. Then Father Holloway was assigned to St. Aloysius Catholic Church in Bessemer in 2019. Then in 2021, he was appointed to Holy Infant of Prague, where I worship, and he no longer serves as a team chaplain. One of Father Holloway's comments when asked about his moves was, "You have to travel light. You also, during moves, job changes, health crisis, and other obstacles of life, have to believe deep in your soul, God is my future. It doesn't matter where you grow up, doesn't matter whether you're teaching or attending school or serving as associate priest or team chaplain, doesn't matter if you're healthy or suffering or recovering, God is your future. God is your future today, tomorrow, and forever." A timely treasure is recognizing the seasons of our lives and the timing of God in our lives. Jesus said to the multitudes, "Whenever you see a cloud rising up out of the west, immediately you say a shower is coming, and so it is. When you see the south wind blow, you say there'll be hot weather, and there it is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, But how is it that you do not discern this time? Modern technology uses data that's gathered from weather stations and satellites, balloons, and people on Earth to create models that forecast what's coming, somewhat accurately. On the internet site WikiHow, Meredith Juntner suggests that we mere novices can forecast weather without using high technology. We can do this by observing four things. We can consider the air, the clouds, the sky, and animals. Number one, we can check out air and wind. Wind occurs when it moves from a high pressure to a low pressure area, and weather patterns move from the west to the east. Westerly winds indicate good weather, while the easterly winds suggest that bad weather is coming towards you. To determine the way the wind is blowing, you can throw up a handful of grass or flower petals, or you can use the wet finger method, and the side of the finger which feels cool indicates the direction of the wind. When trying to figure out air pressure, many of us can notice our own hair. Frizz is an indicator of high humidity, which means moisture in the air. There's curling leaves, if you look at the tree leaves, and swollen wood will tell you the same thing. Usually our choir loft door and our downstairs pantry door open smoothly, but in times of humidity, they swell and stick. We can look at the clouds. Notice their color, their shape, and their location. White high clouds indicate good weather, and dark and low-hanging clouds indicate rain or storms. Clouds moving together suggest a possible storm, while clouds separating indicate a clearing. Thirdly, we can look at the sky. As we mentioned, weather moves from the west to the east. The sun, however, moves from the east to the west. A red easterly sky in the morning is a reflection of bad weather in the west. You may have heard the saying, red sky at night is a sailor's delight, red sky in the morning is a sailor's warning. Well, Jesus said something similar to this in Matthew 16:2-3. He said, when it's evening, you say, it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, you say, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red. But maybe it's at night. Well, you can look at the moon. It's easy to see if it's a clear sky. It means the weather's cooling down, which may mean low pressure bringing rain. If there's a halo around the moon, it means rain is coming. Ring around the moon, rain real soon. Count the stars. A clear sky with more than 10 stars reveals no storms, or possibly if it comes, it'll just be very light. But fewer than 10 means a more severe storm may be brewing. Or you can watch the animals. Now, I have a grand dog in Georgia that begins to pace and then shake before rain. Or you can watch the industrious ants. They'll make their mounds high to create steeps before a rainstorm. And air pressure falls before a storm, and so birds will feel discomfort. They'll fly low, or they might find a place to roost. They become quiet. Their singing and chirping and eating and migration is for fair weather, not foul weather. And likewise, bees and butterflies go home. And cows will head for the barn, or they'll clump together and lie down. Now snakes, on the other hand, go on the move. Even in winter, they leave their nests before bad weather, and they can predict earthquakes with their movement. So what these things tell us is that there is a connection within God's creation. In Palestine, clouds rising from the west were bringing moisture from the sea, and this meant rain. And southerly winds were blowing hot air up from the desert, and it meant heat. As farmers, shepherds, and everyday people, they learned to understand the face of the sky and of the earth. So Jesus questioned, how is it that you do not discern this time? Why do you not notice God among you? Of course, Jesus was God. Could they not see what Jesus was doing and judge that it was good? Could they not discern that what Jesus said, that it was right, that this was a time of God? Moses and the prophets had said that God promised a Messiah. John the Baptist came preparing the way of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus came healing, casting out demons, feeding thousands, and teaching with authority, and even raising the dead. How was it that they did not discern this time as a time of God among them? A timely treasure is recognizing the seasons of our lives and the timing of God in our lives. God grants us the ability to discern and understand what happens around us in our natural world. And God grants us the ability to discern and to understand what happens in and around us in our spiritual lives. Charles Swindoll wrote a book entitled Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life. And in the introduction, he wrote, "I'm glad that God changes the times and the seasons, aren't you? Just think how dull it would be if God didn't paint nature scenes in different colors several times a year. With infinite creativity and remarkable regularity, God splashes white over brown and orange over green, giving such attention to detail that we're often stunned with amazement. Each of the four seasons offers fresh and vital insights for those who take the time to look and to think. The Master is neither mute nor careless as he alters our times and changes our seasons. Seasons are designed to deepen us, to instruct us in the wisdom and the ways of our God, to help us grow strong like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Winter is a season of quiet reverence. This is followed by spring, a time of refreshing and encouraging renewal. Then comes summer, a season of enjoyable and much needed rest. And finally, there's autumn, a season of nostalgic reflection. While Charles Swindoll uses the familiar or natural seasons of our world to illustrate the seasons of our life, these life seasons do not necessarily coincide with nature seasons. There'll be seasons and times of reverence and renewal, rest and reflection. However, reverence may not always come in winter, nor with renewal always come in the spring. There'll be times of rest as well as reflection, though we'll not always find these in times of summer or autumn. Perhaps that was the problem of the people during Jesus' time on earth. They weren't expecting a time of reverence to include a manger or a time of rest to be during a period of unrest with Roman rule. They weren't expecting renewal to come in the form of a new covenant of bread and juice by one who didn't always wash his hands according to the rules of the elders. They didn't foresee a reflection on the kingdom of heaven happening on long, dusty roads. Certainly no one expected all four seasons, reverence, renewal, rest, and reflection, to be offered by the way of a cross. It takes a brave soul to be a Christian. Jesus warned that being a Christ follower could divide us from the very people that we love, father against son, daughter against mother. Continents have what is known as a continental divide. This is the term that's used to designate a line separating the flow of water to opposite sides of a continent. In North America, the continental divide is also called the Great Divide. It separates the westward water flows into the Pacific Ocean and then the eastward water, which flows into the Atlantic. In the United States and Canada, the Great Divide is high in the Rocky Mountains. There are several places in America where the beginnings of streams flowing to the Pacific and to the Gulf are within a few feet of each other. On Cut Bank Pass in Glacier National Park in Montana, there are three brooks that are so close together that a person can easily pour water in all three. One brook flows to the Hudson Bay, another to the Pacific Ocean, and the third into the Gulf. So close in proximity, yet these waters will flow in different directions to different destinations. With Jesus, the living water, when Jesus came to earth, he established, if you will, the Great Divide, the only one with eternal significance. Jesus said, "Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division." It's a sobering thought. While we are living here on earth, our families or others may be divided from us because we choose Jesus and they do not. They may not understand why we live as we do. We live as followers of Jesus. Part of our timely treasure is that this is the time of our life in which we have the privilege of choosing Jesus. We can know with certainty that God is our future. God is your future, today, tomorrow, and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for this time in our lives. Help us to choose you as our future. Amen.